Tonight, wrapping the world on WRB 3.185 clear channel. Glad to have you here. We've got a great, awesome program lined up for you tonight. I want to talk about the increasing dangers down in the Gulf region of the United States of America. How it could affect you, the implications are great and growing every day. Somebody's not concerned. There's somebody that took their finger out of the dike and just don't want to put it in to stop the flow. Reckon it's the plan. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that we are just days away from martial law possibilities. We're going to talk about it tonight. You call a friend in the neighbor and I'll be right back after we ride across the screen with Sister Linda here on the DVD video. We'll ride. Imagining strange things. Actually, he's doing strange things today, thinking he's in control. He really knows he has but a short time. And in that sense, he's got an urgency about him. I believe that the New World Order that have the plans to enslave in captivity all of the slaves that they've got under their control already, but we're talking about the final push to eliminate two-thirds of the world's population by design. And that's the problem. By design. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, if we only knew the evil intent of the devil, how he works, and why he works, in a sense that he's got an agenda to destroy you. Well, that shouldn't be too surprising. Notice this now. I'm going to give you something to think about that a good brother of mine out in California passed on to me. And the video has just been removed, but it was up on YouTube. But if you go there today, you won't find it. And here was the caption that was leading into the video. Almost all 1989 Exxon Valdez cleanup crew is dead at an average age of 51 years of age. Now, why? That was in 89, and they are almost to the man and to the woman, all dead with an average age, died young. There's a reason, ladies and gentlemen, why that they're dying, and the workers down, you know, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. I know you have to do it. I know you have to take a job and you have to work. But ladies and gentlemen, a living dog is better than a dead lion. You can't trust BP, British Petroleum, and you certainly can't trust the White House. From the very beginning of the oil rig explosion and the subsequent oil leak gush, both of these knew the true extent of the spill, but both deliberately downplayed the number of gallons spilled per day almost a month before they began to level, if they did. We just definitely have to take their word for it. And we know that their first figures were inaccurate. There were hundreds of thousands of gallons going into the Gulf daily. And the extent of the oil spill was deliberately downplayed. Each day, the number of gallons was a little more, and a little more. And finally, we got 2.5 million gallons. We're up to 2.5 million gallons that they acknowledge. Late Wednesday night, now listen to this now. The FFA, or the FAA, announced its closing of the airspace over the Gulf Coast to all planes except those flights authorized by the air traffic control. Routine flights supporting offshore oil operations, federal, state, local, and military flight operations supporting oil recovery and reconstitution efforts, and our medical and law enforcement operations. Well, we just had the largest oil spill in the history of mankind going to massive proportions of millions. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody, and I mean nobody, here's the people along the Gulf Coast of Louisiana begging. They're in there with these little booms that they're stretching out along their treasured marshlands. And the oil is oozing under the booms. They're asking for skimmers. They're asking for equipment. And they've got volunteers that would work there. But so far, they've gone to Home Depot and they've bought 12 wetbacks. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. And then here we have BP telling us that they've got everything under control. Bobby Jindal, Louisiana governor, sent letters to the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security, which they're in the news again today. Did you know? I just got this hot off the press before I went on air. A friend down in Mississippi. And today, for the first time, they're reporting oil coming on the pristine white sand shores of Mississippi. No longer can they advertise like just today they were on the television advertising to get you to come down. Their business is off 60% plus. Restaurants, gambling casinos, tourists, vacationers, 60%. Now, what is that going to do to the economy of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, and possibly as the oil keeps being dumped in, we got a catastrophic catastrophe on our hands. The government is, I mean, Mr. Obama, he was in Canada over the weekend discussing economic situation. They was riots. Over 900 people protesting this meeting in Toronto, in Canada. What's going on? I'll tell you what I think is going to go on is that they're going to have a mass evacuation from the Gulf Coast, which will mean disruptions of peoples on a scale that's unimaginable. They have nothing planned to stop the flow until sometime the next attempt is in August. They're still 900 feet away from drilling a relief well into the side of the damaged well. And ladies and gentlemen, there is evidence. It's visible. I'm telling you. If this wasn't planned purposely, it is the BP and the government inspectors that let them get away with this. They knew the fissures in the Gulf floor, some a mile long. They knew that there were volcanic activity in the region, and they have put this oil well right down in the top of a liquid oil volcano. They're pumping in the ocean. Here we are. We're pumping right out of a oil volcano, trying to, it's like you would, like I say, trying to stick your finger in a mass fissure a mile long, or the top of where the well glowed, and it's enlarging every day. We're told that it's getting worse. It's not getting better. What would permit, or what would forbid, due to this situation, and we know they're withholding putting out information for a variety of reasons. Now let me show you. Due to toxic gases from the fractured well in the Gulf, the possible off-gassing of the highly toxic Corexit 9500, that's the chemical dispersant used by PP and the oil spill cleanup. Now, acid rain and various as yet unknown forms of environmental damage could possibly happen, likely will, and it appears likely that millions of people will be relocated away from the Gulf Coast. Those living in Florida are presently at the highest risk, but the danger all appears likely to spread to all Gulf Coast states east of Louisiana, and possibly even to the entire eastern half of the United States once hurricane season begins. Guess what? Right on cue, right on time, Alex is picking up steam and is now entering the Gulf, and wind projections are anywhere from 95 to 150 miles per hour winds, high tides. This is going to push with catastrophic results, by the way. We're going to go deep inland, at least 5 to 6 miles, that this dispersant, this chemical, and all of the oil, the toxic gases, and the combinations that proved deadly in the Valdez spill, ladies and gentlemen, something's wrong. Something bad is wrong with the situation that we got. Now, what is it? Well, we've got a formulation of predicted, I'll say predicted, problems that seem like is out of a script. Somebody has scripted the script. For instance, Mr. Lindsay Williams, who is a well-known predictor, a former Alaskan pipeline chaplain with high-level oil industry connections, has suggested that BP, in conjunction with the federal government, might try to cap the well by using a nuclear explosion, and the environmental consequences of which are currently unknown. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I really don't. I just don't know what the problem could turn out to be if that is a possible a part of the problem. Well, let me assure you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, that if this happens, we are in for uncharted waters. Uncharted. From the time that they put the nuclear device inside the volcanic well and until this radioactive fallout could literally, and this is why I'm saying that there's probably going to be a evacuation. If everything else fails, due to the toxic gases from the fractured oil well and yet unknown forms of environmental damage, they really don't know what they're doing, or do they? They don't really know how many of the vast numbers of evacuees could cause a significant strain on local resources. In other words, islanders should not expect life to continue as normal, since under a martial law scenario, the government would have the power and the motivation to seize everything necessary, such as food, water, fuel, housing, transportation. And some have also suggested that if a hurricane were to occur over the oil spill area itself, lightning may possibly ignite volatile organic compounds, not to mention the acid rain clouds, and we're already having oil raining in the Louisiana Gulf Coast area. I got that firsthand from a sister that lives down there. She knows. It made her whole family sick. Matter of fact, she's already evacuated. Had a lot of strain and stress on their family because they were forced to leave hurriedly. Just had to lock their doors and flee. And they're in the state of Arkansas, which tonight, Brother Bob has informed me, tonight in Arkansas. Unusual. He moved there about 3 years ago or four from California, where he didn't see probably 5 inches of rainfall a year. And tonight, he just informed me before we went on air that they got over 3.5 inches in a little over an hour. Something, ladies and gentlemen, is causing these things to happen unprecedented. Unprecedented things that are happening, and for whatever reason, I don't know. Unless, like I say, unless these things are planned for a martial law evacuation. Now, notice this. This is just out in June the 10th, 20 and 10. This is an extreme alert. Gulf Coast evacuation contingency plans are to soon go into operational preparedness. The operational name of a Gulf Coast evacuation is Swift Fox. I'm going to repeat that. The name of the evacuation, it doesn't got its name, Swift Fox. Yesterday morning at around 8:30 Mountain Time, this information was received that specific towns in Tennessee, listen now, in Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, and Georgia were having hotel rooms rented en masse by different named societies using federal government credit cards. The block hotel room rentals are for half the available rooms in hotels with a minimum of 120 rooms. Specific conversations were overheard that would indicate that the planned Gulf Coast evacuation is soon to be implemented if the attempts to shut off the oil flow fails. And like I say, since we are sitting on top of a liquid volcano with fire emitting, and you can see it, BP is filtering out the images so you can't see that they drill right into knowingly. They have to know this, ladies and gentlemen. So we are here waiting for the signal from the president, who seems, you know, he seems like he's not worried at all. But a forced evacuation following a hurricane warning, it's normal. See that? It's normal. We've been in our practice since 2005 when, well, actually before that, but the last major evacuation, forced evacuation, without martial law now, but a forced evacuation, mandatory. It was a mandatory evacuation in 2005 with Katrina. So now that Mississippi has the castle doctrine, so that you do not have to leave if you don't want to. If you want to stay with your castle, you can do that in Mississippi. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that if they order martial law, you will be forced to leave. It's mandatory. Everyone. Now, water, food, insurance coverage, and damages and such and so on and so forth. Is BP going to pay all that? I don't think so. In Florida alone, the damage could be somewhere around $50 to $60 billion or more. That's just a conservative estimate. That's just Florida, and there at the extreme southern tip of the Gulf, on their side from the Keys over into the Gulf. Now notice this: if it gets in the water, and it already has, the sister that got sick was taking a bath, and it ran oily water into her bathtub for the first time. She's raised there. Born in this town and raised there. So it's already getting in the homes, the businesses, and any place else that oil and water can touch. Now, this is a mega disaster waiting to happen with nobody, even BP. The nightly news tonight says, when they reported the nightly news, this one fellow that lives down in Louisiana, he was begging for equipment, skimmers. There's no boats in sight. They're sitting there with booms trying to siphon the oil off with a wetback. Can you believe that? Trying to save their marshes. Now, what would the afterthought be when FEMA takes over? Let me give you just a few reminders. I've taught on the executive orders, but let me remind you. Executive order, this is the famous order of 10-99-0, allows the government to take over all models of transportation, control highways, seaports, existing food storages, vehicles that are could be commandeered to be used to transport. Executive Order 10-99-5 allows the government to seize and control the communication medias. In other words, you've seen these emergency evacuation communication. They tested on the radios and the television. You hear a high-pitched sound. This is a test. This may not be a test, and we're following under Executive Order 10-99-5. Executive Order 10-99-7 allows the government to take over all electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuels, minerals, and anything else that it deems important, such as Executive Order follows 10-99-8, allows the government to seize all food resources and all farms or all storages pertaining to the food banks. So if you, as an individual, have food stored, then under martial law, it would be against the law for you to have it. They could seize it, commandeer it, and take it away from you and your family. Now, this Executive Order 11,000 allows the government to mobilize civilian into work brigades under government supervision. Now, that's one that I believe could be very, very swiftly executed. You would be forced. Now, this is what communism, socialism is all about. Control the people. Out of chaos would come control. I've got a hum in my headset and I don't know where it's coming from. But anyway, the 10 or 11,000 allows the government to mobilize civilians into work brigades. Sound like a place that you remember back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Listen to this one. Executive Order 11001 allows the government to take over all health, education, and welfare functions. Executive Order 11002 designates the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of all persons. That means a forced registration under threat. If you fail to follow orders, they can shoot you on sight. They could have orders, and that goes with the Executive Order of 11002, where it designates the Postmaster General. Now, what have they ever done to do anything of an operational capability to prove their worth? But you're going to be forced. You have to have papers, just like it was in Soviet Russia. You have to carry your papers. The poor people wore their papers out, having to carry them in their inside jacket pocket and guard them and protect them and seal them in plastic. Because if they caught you without your papers, they could shoot you and did. Come into a neighborhood near you. Possible. Executive Order 11003 allows the government to take over all airports, because you're traveling out, all aircraft, including commercial aircraft that you would own, any plane that they deem necessary, even though it's a private-owned plane, you would not be permitted to fly anyway. They could commandeer it under this order, Executive Order 11003. Now, 11004 allows the Housing and Finance Authority to, listen, here it is, to relocate whole communities and to build new housing with public funds, designate areas to be abandoned, and establish new locations for populations where they deem necessary. I want to repeat that one again. That's Executive Order 1104. Allows the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate all in the community, to put you in a new housing or to build with your labor new housing with public funds, designated areas to be abandoned and establish new locations in what they consider safe zones. In other words, the whole Gulf Coast, in case that there's a hurricane blowing toxic gases. Now, they're not going to wait. You see, if they waited and you people begin to die by the thousands and possibly millions, then they would blame the lack of execution of Order 1104, which allows the Housing and Finance Authority to get you out and relocate you in a safe zone. So if they deemed it unsafe in anywhere in the Gulf, in these major states that I've just mentioned to you, which to me is the backbone of the South. It really is. And our own government, for the sake of safety, could say, we have to relocate you away from your home. The castle law does not apply, even in Mississippi, when martial law takes precedence over all laws through Executive Order 1105. In Executive Order 11051 specifies the responsibility of the Office of Emergency Planning and giving authorization to put all executive orders into effect in times of increased international tension or and economic or financial crises. We could have all of that. And all of these executive orders, and I'm going to read you 12 here tonight. This here's the last one. Executive Order 11310 grants authority to the Department of Justice to enforce the plans set out in all of these executive orders to institute industrial support, to establish judicial and legislative liaisons, or to control all aliens, to operate penal and correctional institutions, right there it is, and to advise and assist the president in doing so. So, the So Long Coast and Hello FEMA Camp, that's where it's coming to, if we have an evacuation. Now you say, well, that would be better than living down there in the danger zone. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're so gullible. We just don't, you know, it says that like dumb sheep we were led to the slaughter. And they laugh at our inability. Something is going on behind the scenes that is going to have a climax that is not going to be in your best interest. It's like the foxes that are guarding the hen house are going to relocate the hen house to what they designate to be a closer place. Oil spills, despair, the loss for many families already in the Gulf, and it's growing. Every day we are getting more and more reports of people becoming sick. I know this from a message that I got from the sister in Louisiana, that not only was she getting sick as a result, but many more were getting sick as a result of what is going on. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are what I would call, I'm going to call this, a problem for the whole Southeast. Now, with the a complete control lockdown. You can't fly over it. You can't go out and sightsee in a boat. Why? All because we're at a critical time. Well, why isn't the government doing something? Where's the skimmers? There's over 2,000 boats that have been hard to skim, and less than 20 is being put to the task. Ask the governor of Louisiana. He's appalled. Ask the governor of Mississippi. He's frustrated. Ask the governor of Alabama. He's befuddled. And although the politician, Mr. Charlie, the governor of Florida, is trying to keep a straight face and say, come on down because the waters is fine in Florida. And today, ladies and gentlemen, there's oil on the coast of Florida. Don't be fooled. You wanna swim in a tar ball, watered, infested, who knows how toxic the water can be. The people that worked on this oil spill in Valdez, Alaska, at the age of 51 years, they, most of them, are dead. They're dead. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the United States government has been trained in these type of situations? We've had drills going on for quite some time. And due to the toxic gases from the fractured oil well in the Gulf of Mexico, the possible off-gassing of the highly toxic Corexit 9500, the chemical dispersant used in by BP in the oil spill cleanup, and people are getting sick from it. It's a combination that they should have known was a deadly combination when you get concentrated forms of this gas. Now, I know that methane, I've been reminded of a friend. I've got a friend that's an electrical engineer, and he told me that there was no danger of any explosion due to methane, large amounts of methane coming up because of the combination and the weights of the water and the methane and the oil. Well, that may be true, but with these combinations getting into the jet stream, passing in certain areas, and then this could be, if you will, it could be an excuse. I'm not saying that it would be necessary, but it's an apocalyptic scenario that seems like the oil disaster will be the end of life as we know it in the Gulf, and could possibly, now listen, it could possibly affect your life in Canada or in Germany as it goes on in up the eastern coast into the North Atlantic and into the swirl of the Gulf Stream as it comes around and circles around the coast of the European countries. You could get a taste of this. Oil spewing at 20,000 to 70,000, and some say 100,000 psi, pounds per square inch. Sediments within has eroded the very walls of the well itself in several areas. This means that this is now an uncontainable gusher, and the only option, if the two relief wells that are being drilled, if this fails, we won't know till sometime in mid-August. Now, that means that 2.5 million gallons of oil per day, 24/7, will pump. And they say that this could pump for 7 to 10 years at this rate. What would life in this ocean, I mean, it could affect all oceans of the world. It could affect the rainfall. we're having unusual weather, like I just mentioned, in the state of Arkansas. Unusual. In Tennessee, just this year, we had unholy, unheard of floods in areas that we'd never had them before. Evacuation of floodplain areas and cities. Nashville was for one. Memphis, Jackson. What's going on? 3.5 inches in a little over an hour. And this has become the norm rather than the exception. Hail that is large as golf balls and larger, falling in certain areas. Tornadoes ripping the cities, whole cities, and displacing people. What's going on? What in the world is happening? Toxic rain? If that don't scare you, the biggest threat is already actually happening with the chemicals entering the atmosphere and being carried around by the wind. The media coverage of the BP oil disaster to date has focused largely on the threats to wildlife. But the latest evaluation of air monitoring data shows a serious threat to human health from airborne chemicals emitted by the ongoing deepwater gusher. The Institute for Southern Studies has a blog on it, and I read it today, and they're concerned. Now, my question, again, if these diversions that we see going on in the Gulf, the side drills to relieve pressure, it could, by the way, admitted it's a 50-50 thing. It could be a complete success or a complete disaster. Now, if we wait till the mid-August to late August, that's another 2 months, almost. We've already pumped strong for 2 months. That's 4 months of 2.5 million gallons of oil today going into a little gulf. Where do you think this oil is eventually going to wind up? With the 12 wetback, I mean, it's almost, if it wasn't so serious, it would be funny. Here this poor guy in Louisiana to save the marsh that he loves. At his own expense, went and bought 12 vacs. He's planning on charging BP. Well, good luck. They won't send the commercial suction pumps out there and clean the marsh or to get the major. But the oil has already penetrated the marsh, and it's thick and gooey, and of course the marsh is going to die. Well, here's the argument. Oh, we don't care. Let that happen. Here's what the old people say. Let it happen. We'll burn the marsh off and we'll start again. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever considered again the toxic rain? It's scary. Hydrogen sulfide, benzene, methane chloride, and other toxic gases are spewing out along with oil in concentrations hundreds and thousands of times greater than is what is be considered safe for humans. And nobody's pushing a button. And the workers are right down there. The people are standing along the gulf guarding the marshes trying to keep it out. They don't have any mask on. We know from the center of the medical centers there, it is being reported that shows the oil leak from the floor as they are grudgingly giving in to telling us what's going on. Methane disaster could kill millions. That's what the experts say. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, the biggest methane eruption in modern history. Relief wells are useless. They cannot stop the oil. Now, you say, methane is a problem? My friend the engineer says it's not. Here, the experts, I can send you the information if you'd like to have it. Here the experts say it's a methane disaster which could literally kill millions. Now, I don't know whether there's anything to this or not, but if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of caution. Get the hell out. Run. Flee to the mountains like the Bible said in the time of trouble. They don't want you to know that the fragile U.S. economy in the midst of a feeble attempt at a jobless recovery, overstretched by war and out-of-control spending, were not equipped to handle a disaster of this magnitude. And we're not even trying. Look at the attempt by BP, which is in charge of the operation. The government says, oh, we're gonna demand BP pay everybody. And we say, oh, boy, that's our government is standing up to BP. And so BP volunteers to kitty up or ante up $20 billion. When, ladies and gentlemen, that wouldn't even be a touch in the button if all of these things materialize to where we have what would be called a catastrophic disaster of magnitude of thousands or even possibly millions of people dying or being relocated because of toxic gases that are being allowed to build up. And the chemicals that they're dispersing the oil or to lighten the oil to make it to disperse is nothing but making toxic fumes because people are getting sick, including my friend. And I won't tell you the town, but she says that many people in her town are sick, and it's even getting in the drinking water, in the water table. Would a nuke implode the oil pocket? And the government now is saying, oh, that'd be last resort. We wouldn't resort to that until we had to. Could that open up a Pandora box of probabilities? And the possibilities are endless of what that would do. It could create a disaster. Look what we've got now. A dollar confidence crisis. Enraged citizens who could riot and loot with no hope of a decent life ahead of them. Martial law would then be declared. And then, have you ever seen the L.A. riots? They were paled by comparison, and they burnt that city down. Ladies and gentlemen, if people get hungry and are forced to evacuate and take away their pleasure, take away their ability to enjoy the pleasure at the expense of the taxpayer. That's basically what's going on here. We've got a certain segment of people that won't work, never have worked, and never will work because they're dependent upon the government. These are the people that will riot when you take away their candy and feed them toxic oil. Who knows what will happen? We're in the midst of the greatest global economy meltdown. And it's all by design of the New World Order. I've warned you that for years on the radio. I've warned you and warned you and warned you. Now, the bogus press release downplay this type of an assessment. And many more have made this type of assessment. We're in big trouble. And it's planned. And it's purposed. And the United States is the largest nation to fold and go under by a destructive enemy that's come in unaware to rule and to set this agenda to make the United States sink into the ocean of the worst environmental disaster in the history of the world. Economic collapse, sure. We're coming up on it. Well, I got to close. My time is coming and gone. But I really appreciate being with you tonight. Many blessings to you down around the country, especially to you people in the Gulf. If you're listening to me tonight, I pray for you. Father, bless those who live there, the unsuspecting, the sheep, the dumb sheep that are going to be led astray, that will not understand until it's too late. They will not listen to the prophets. They won't listen to the teachers. They have no fear. They'll eat and drink right up till the last day as the dumb sheep that we are. Only a divine intervention of the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 18, is going to save us from the madness of Satan and his agents who think to kill, steal, and destroy so that they can have. They know that earth can heal itself in 50 years. Well, that's exactly what we're being told. This disaster in the Gulf and the surrounding regions, if it don't kill all the plankton, it'll take 50 years to cleanse itself and recover to its normal state. We're now in the time of trouble of Revelations 11:18, where we need somebody to come back and save us from ourselves. Well, you can write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, and New Tazewell, Tennessee, with the zip 37824. Call me. I'm live tonight around the world. WRB 3.185. That's where I'm at tonight. You can call me live on this number. Let me give it to you. Talk to me. 423-626-2172. I'll see you tomorrow night at 11 o'clock on the Lake Hall, sponsored by Brother Mark down in the great state of Mississippi. I hope and pray and that he's safe and sound, as well as you if you live in the area. Praise Yahweh. Or you can, if you'd like to, you could write us, send us a love offering to keep preaching the truth. We'll tell you. We're going to stay on top of it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow night. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary, 1-800-1-877-289-7439, and Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. See you tomorrow night, and I love you. Yahweh bless you on the Shepherd's Call.